They call it insane honesty. Advertisers have found out that, amazingly, sometimes just being insanely honest is an important part. Marketing 101 says something like this: ignore your market share and just act like the leader, like the dreams of any Disney princess, and one day it might just come true. Well, years ago, Avis found out that maybe the best thing was to be honest in their advertising. In 1962, Avis Rent-A-Car was not first. It was actually maybe second. And so in 1962, Avis Rent-A-Car actually came out with an advertising campaign that they kept until 2012. For 50 years, their motto was, "We try harder." Now, it's interesting because here's the way their advertising went. We're number two. We're number two because we don't have the nicest cars, but we're going to try harder. That's refreshing, isn't it? I wasn't around when this actually happened enough to know about it, but when the Beetle first came out, I was around, but I don't remember this, but the Beetle, the Volkswagen Beetle, when they began advertising for the Volkswagen Beetle, they started their advertisement with, "Ugly is only skin deep. It may not be much to look at, but..." And then they touted the reasons that their Volkswagen Beetle, though it was different in looks than every other car around, why it was considered superior to them. Insane honesty. Sadly, we live in a world today where honesty seems to be something that is far from many of us. Several years ago, there was a book written, The Day America Told the Truth, by authors Patterson and Kim. They painted a rather startling picture of honesty in our culture. They said that according to their study and according to their research, 91% of people lie regularly. Have you ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Everybody in here has told a lie. Have you ever noticed you don't have to teach a child to lie? Am I right? Not only do it say that 91% of us lie regularly, but 2 out of 3 Americans believe that there's nothing wrong with lying. And only 31% of Americans believe that honesty is the best policy. Whenever we turn in our Bible to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, we continue our study of what Jesus says it means to be an authentic follower of His. And when we turn to this passage in Matthew chapter 5 and begin in verse 33, and we're going to read through verse 37, Jesus addresses the issue of dishonesty in the heart and mind of men because he was living in a culture that was no different than the culture that we're caught up in today. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking recently about why it is that we have such a hard time today ever believing anybody's motivation is true. Have you noticed that in the news or on television or in any arena of life, it seems like everybody is always questioning someone's motive or agenda? Have you ever had your motive or agenda questioned by someone? Have you ever had your integrity questioned by someone? Well, Jesus tells us in this passage a very important truth. He says to us, integrity matters. Honesty matters. And God's people who are authentic followers of Jesus Christ should be marked not by the appearance of truthfulness, but the actual reality of truthfulness in our lives. Look what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 33. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Well, you can sort of today. I asked Vicky the other day, I was filling out a form, honey, it's asking for the color of my hair. What color is my hair? She said, gray. I kind of like salt and pepper better, amen? Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything beyond these is of evil. We've heard it said, well, I'd swear on a stack of Bibles, cross my heart and hope to die. But yet we still struggle sometimes with honesty. This is a series of Jesus taking Old Testament law and reminding the scribes and the Pharisees of their misinterpretation and their misapplication of the Word of God and abusing it and using it in their own way, in their own interpretation, for their own advantage. And so what Jesus does, Jesus gives us the Mosaic law, and then he gives us the wrong interpretation and application of the law by the scribes and Pharisees. And then he gives us the right understanding and application of that law of honesty. And he does this. He did it with the issue of murder and adultery and divorce. And now he talks to us about the issue of integrity and how integrity matters. As a matter of fact, Jesus condemns the use of flippant oaths to make an impression, and he commends truthfulness in both thought and word, and then also in deed. Daniel Webster once said, there's nothing as powerful as truth, and often nothing as strange. Well, let's look first of all at what Jesus does in this passage, and that is Jesus condemns the use of flippant oaths. First of all, the Mosaic law. Notice in verse 33, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. Now, there are two Greek words that are used in this 33rd verse. One of those is a word that refers to perjuring oneself. It's a word that means to swear falsely. In other words, the context or the idea is you don't want to get up in a court of law or in a legal environment, and you don't want to say something that perjures yourself. You don't want to swear falsely. That's one word that is used. But then he says in verse 33, not only shall you not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows. This is a different word. It's a word that carries with it the idea of a solemn promise. Literally, it means that you to enclose with a fence or to bind together. The truth of an oath or a vow is enclosed. It is bound, therefore strengthened by that which is invoked on its behalf. Now, when Jesus refers to the Mosaic law, what Jesus is doing is he's bringing together three different passages. Leviticus 19:12, you shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Or in Numbers 30, verse 2, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. Now, God provided in the Old Testament for making oaths by his name. An oath was a sacred thing that was only to be used in the most important of times. So Moses made it very clear that God's people were to be honest in the words that they said and the commitments that they made. But the problem was the scribes and the Pharisees weren't interested in being honest and upright. They were always looking for a way to manipulate the meaning of the law or the word of God to take advantage of others and to appear religious, to appear righteous. But the reality is their heart was very far from righteousness and holiness. Now, I want you to listen to me. You and I can be a lot like the scribes and Pharisees. If we want to appear truthful, but we hide truthfulness behind religion, but the reality is our heart is not truthful, then we have denied the integrity of the God that we serve. Listen to what the scribes and Pharisees were doing. They said an oath sworn to the Lord must be kept, but an oath made in which the name of the Lord was not expressly mentioned was of lesser significance. In other words, if they were to make a promise, if I were to make a promise to my friend Mike, and I were to say, I promise you in the name of Jesus that I'm going to do this, then that was really important. But if I came over here to Rick and I said, Rick, I promise you I'm going to do that, well, I really didn't have to keep that promise because I didn't invoke the name of God. And so what they would do is they would make these promises or these statements, but they were very careful in how they worded them so that they did not feel truly obligated to fulfill what they had said that they would do. I'll never forget one time a gentleman in one of the churches that I was serving. He was a man of great integrity. And he was considering making a move in his business and moving out of state. And the church was in the midst of a giving campaign. And he sat down with the campaign fundraiser. And the campaign fundraiser actually said this to him. He said, listen, we would like for you to make your commitment to what you're going to do. But we understand if you can't fulfill it because you're moving out of state. It greatly offended that man, and the reason it offended that man was because the man looked at him and he said, sir, you have offended me. I'm not making a commitment to you. I'm making a commitment to the Lord, and no matter where I am, when I make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I commit and I do what I said that I will do. That's pretty powerful, amen. It not only revealed the integrity of that layman's heart, it exposed the false integrity of the campaign fundraiser that was only after pledges, not the actual integrity of the heart who was making the commitment. The scribes and Pharisees were like that. Oaths had begun to multiply in daily conversation. And that's why in verse 34, Jesus says, I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you can't make one hair white or black. Why is that? It's because the scribes and the Pharisees were deceitful, and they were making all kinds of promises. I promise you this by the heavens above, or I promise you this by the earth that we stand on. Everything they could do to somehow invoke some level of authority in what they were saying, but their heart intent was never to fulfill what they said that they would do. Their perverted interpretation of the Mosaic law had improper circumstances, it lacked honesty, and it had a misplaced emphasis, limiting honest oaths to the vows that were made to the Lord. Listen to this statement. There is a great difference between appearing truthful and being truthful. Right? It's kind of like when I'm not supposed to have eaten all the ice cream. Now, you're about to identify with this. And Vicky goes into the freezer and says, "Daryl, I bought that ice cream for a dessert that I was making. Did you eat that ice cream today?" "And I ate it last night." And so what I say is, "No, honey, I didn't eat that ice cream today." Now, what I just said appeared to be truthful, but it was really a... Anybody ever done that? Besides me? Why is it always the food that gets me in trouble? Jesus condemned the making of flippant oaths. Invoking everything about us to appear truthful and honest, when in reality we're just covering up our dishonesty and our deceit. So what did Jesus do? Jesus not only condemned the use of flippant oaths, but Jesus commends truthfulness in thought, in word, and in deed. Now, notice what he says. "Let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything beyond these is of evil." When Jesus made the words, "Swear not at all," one scholar by the name of Murray says, when Jesus made this statement, he was striking directly at that profanity which enlisted substitutes for the name of God in order to secure the virtual emphasis of adjuration, and yet at the same time sought escape from the obligation and sanctions that the use of the divine name itself would have involved. So the question is, does Jesus condemn all oath-taking? Does that mean that you should never in a court of law put your hand on a Bible and say, I swear with my hand on a Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Is that what Jesus is saying we shouldn't ever do? No, I don't think so. I think what Jesus is saying is we shouldn't have to put our hand on our Bibles to be truthful. We ought to be truthful no matter where our hands are. Psalm 51, verse 6 says, "Behold, you do desire truth in the inmost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom." What is Jesus emphasizing? Jesus is emphasizing that honest men do not need to swear by an oath. Honest men don't need to swear by an oath. If you remember, Jesus said in verse 20, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you can't inherit the kingdom of heaven." And the scribes and Pharisees, it was all about the appearance. It was all about what was on the outside. It didn't matter what was in the heart. It didn't matter what was on the inside. It just mattered if everybody else looked and thought everything was good. And Jesus uses this to get to the very core issue. Not only are you murderers, not only are you adulterers, not only are you liars, but your heart is what God is most interested in. Now listen. Every one of us have said things that we wish that we would do that we failed to fulfill. Just the other day, I had a gentleman in our church, and I was trying to connect with him, and I said, I'll call you after 5 o'clock today. Well, you know what? I let it slip my mind, and I failed to call him after 5 o'clock that day. And it actually was a couple of days later before I got back to him. Now, I hated that because I had said I was going to call you. It wasn't my intent to forget to call. It wasn't my desire to forget to call. I didn't say I'm going to call you and just go, well, I really didn't mean that. I don't intend to call you. No, I just messed up. Have you ever done that? We all have those things happen. But there's a far cry difference from us lying, lacking integrity, deceiving people with the words that come from our mouths so that we appear one way when we don't. Jesus condemns the use of oaths flippantly to manipulate and deceive. But Jesus commends truthfulness in thought, word, and indeed. An oath is only as reliable as the one who makes it. God is the creator and the Lord of everything, and therefore, to make an oath by anything is to make an oath ultimately to God. Proverbs 6 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. James 5:12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 23? Woe to you blind guides who say whoever swears by the temple that it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering upon it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Men will always try to find a reason why they don't have to keep their word, and God simply says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be a person of integrity, because integrity matters. Do you agree with that this morning? I was tested in this recently. I had someone contact me and ask me a confidential question about something I knew a matter about. And I responded and I said to them, I said, I'm sorry, but I can't tell you that. And so they responded again with another text, and they said, come on, man, I really want to know. And I said, I'm sorry, that would be inappropriate. And then they sent me a leading question to try to simply get me to answer a roundabout question to give them an answer without actually telling them what they wanted to know. You follow me? If you do, say I do. And here's the way I responded. I said, why would you ever trust me to tell me anything in confidence if you're asking me to divulge a confidence that I am not privileged to share with you? Why would you ever trust me to tell me anything in confidence if I'm going to betray the confidence of someone else? I didn't hear back for a few hours. But this brother in the Lord saw the error of their way, and I sensed repentance in their response. You know, the way that you maintain your integrity is by keeping your word, and so here are two things. We need to learn to simply say what we mean and mean what we say. This passage is not hard to interpret. It's not hard to apply. There's not all kinds of hidden meanings in what Jesus is saying. Jesus is simply exposing the deceit and dishonesty of the scribes and Pharisees who wanted to appear righteous and honest, but yet their heart was dark, deceived, and dishonest. And Jesus simply says, people that belong to my kingdom people that bear the name Christian should always be people who act with integrity in their thoughts, their words, and their deeds. So be truthful in your speech, Proverbs 12:22 says. Be careful what you promise, Ecclesiastes 5:2-5 reminds us. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not to fulfill it. And not only be careful in what you promise, but be faithful in following through. When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. A few years ago, Ruben Gonzalez was playing in his first professional racquetball tournament. And Ruben Gonzalez was at match point about to win against the other player. As a matter of fact, he had just hit what they call a kill shot, and both judges, the line judge and the other judge, had declared that it was a proper shot and was ready to declare Ruben Gonzalez the winner. When Ruben stepped up and he made the statement, he said, "It wasn't in. It skipped off the wall." And eventually, Ruben Gonzalez, who was about to be declared the winner, lost that match. Later, when he was interviewed, he was asked the question, "Why in the world two judges declared it in? You were about to be awarded the match and win. Why would you do that?" His response is classic. He said, "It was the only way I could maintain my integrity." Integrity isn't being right all the time. Integrity isn't always saying the right thing all the time. Integrity isn't even always doing what you say you're going to do all the time, because I don't know about you, but I think that every one of us are human beings and we fall short and we sin or we make mistakes. But integrity is being honest when we have made a mistake. Integrity is endeavoring to do the right thing at the right time. Integrity is when we fail to fulfill what we said, we are honest enough to admit and ask for forgiveness for our mistakes. Jesus said, it's all about the heart. The heart. The heart. This morning, probably one of the most important things that any one of us can do is be honest. A lot of times we're pretty honest with other people. Sometimes we use honesty to bludgeon people. That's not right either. But it may well be that the most important thing that anyone in here could do this morning is to be honest with himself. To be honest enough to admit your need before God. To admit maybe this morning that you say, "Daryl, I know that I'm not even a Christian. I've never truly repented of my sin and put my faith in Jesus Christ. It's all on the outside. I go to church. Everybody thinks I'm a good guy. But truthfully, down deep, I know I don't know Jesus." Or it may very well be that there's someone here that everybody else thinks you're honest and upright. But deep down, you know that you cheat on your taxes. You know that you fudge the numbers at work. You know that you fill out false expense reports. You know that you've lied to your wife. You know that nobody else may know any of these things, but down deep, you know that you've been a dishonest person. And today, God wants you to repent and God wants you to come clean with him. And what God wants you to do is say, Lord, my heart is not right within me. Would you forgive me and cleanse me and give me a heart that is desiring honesty and truth?